a family standing in front of him at a convenience store, and they did not have enough money to pay for a few items. He tapped the man on the shoulder and said, "You don't need to turn around, but please accept this money." The man took the money without even seeing the preacher. 9 years later, the pastor was invited to speak at a church. After the service, a man walked up to the preacher and shared this story about how he came or how he had come to faith in Christ. He said, "Several years ago, my wife and our children were destitute. We had lost everything. Had no job, no money. We were living in our car. We also lost all hope and agreed to a suicide pact, including our child. However, we decided to first give our son some food, so we drove to a convenience store to buy him some food and milk. And while we were standing in line at the store, we realized that we didn't have even enough money to pay for these items. But a man behind us asked us to please take the money from his hand and not look at him. The man told us that Jesus loves you. We left the store, drove to our designated suicide site, and wept for hours. We couldn't go through with it, so we drove away. As we drove, we noticed a church with a sign out front that said, 'Jesus loves you.' We went to that church the very next Sunday, and both my wife and I were saved that day." He told the pastor, "When you began speaking this morning, I knew immediately that you were the man who gave us that money." How did he know? The pastor had a very distinct accent. He continued and said, "Pastor, your act of kindness was much more than a simple deed. Three people are alive today because of it. I want to talk to you from this morning. It's okay to give." The pastor was not just recognized by his accent, but by his activity. The man could be identified just because he gave to another person as the Spirit of God prompted him to. It isn't wrapped up in a how, why, or when, but just in an understanding that it's okay to give. The story lets us know there's power in giving, there's purpose in giving, there's a blessing in giving. But how do we give in this mechanism called the church? What is a tithe? What is an offering? And how does the tithe and the offering tie into what Jesus talks about with our attitude? These are questions we're going to dig in today. Because when I mention tithe and the offering, you can hear a pin drop. Hey, amen. It's okay. It's okay to give. The first part I want to bring up is it's okay to give because you've got receipts. It's okay to give because you and I have receipt. A receipt is a reflection of a bill that's been paid and evidence that someone has paid the bill. And someone today has after the victory receipts. I'm going to try to hold myself down because I feel like shouting already. After the victory receipts, Genesis 14, 19 to 20 says, "Melchizedek blessed Abraham with the blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies before you." If I break down the story in 60 seconds, Abraham gave this priest a tenth of all the goods he has received. Why? Abraham gave it to him after he won the battle and after God rescued him and after God rescued his family. So after the victory, Abraham gave something because he had the receipt of God doing something in his life. So after everything turned around and after everything was okay, Abraham had a receipt. So it's okay to give because I have after the victory receipts. Anybody have after the victory receipts? That's the first shout, so warm yourself up. Look, after he turns around and after he makes it all right and after, ooh, not just the thing, but after he redeems me. So some of us have a receipt of things that he's done, but all of us have the receipt of the redemption that he's done in our life. So it's more than a bill being paid or a relationship being fostered, but this time it's because he redeemed my soul from damnation. That's a shout right there in the building. I got an after victory receipt because of what God has done in my life. But then we have before the blessing receipts. Before the blessing, Jacob, Genesis 28, 20 to 22 says this. Jacob had a vow. He says, "If God stands by me and protects me on this journey on which I'm setting out, keeps me in food and clothing, brings me back in one piece to my father's house, then God will be my God. This stone that I have set up as a memorial pillar will mark this as a place where God lives, and everything you give me, I will return a tenth to you. So Jacob is saying this prayer, believing God will show up even before the battle. Watch this. Jacob has messed up like some of us. Jacob was on the run from a brother that he messed up on like some of us. Jacob was looking to have a relationship with God like some of us, but Jacob knew enough that he could have a preemptive or before the blessing praise. Now, any military people in here knows a preemptive thing is not just before, but a preemptive thing is an attack that goes out so the other attack won't be formed. So Jacob is saying, God, if you keep me, God, if you watch out for me, God, if you take care of this, I'm believing that you will, and I have a praise even before the battle is fought. Some of us have a before the blessing receipt. So God, I need you to make a way before I walk into this promotion. God, I need you to make a way before I walk into this school year. God, I need you to make a way before I can have a can we talk conversation from last week. God, I need you to do it before I even walk into it, and I'm going to give you glory before it happens. Because I have a before. Anybody got a before the blessing receipt? Listen, and it shows up in your life. This is what he's done, and he did it before I even walked in the room. I wasn't even qualified for him to do what he did, but because he's so good and because he's so kind, I got a before the blessing receipt. Somebody give God some praise in this building. We got somebody say, slow down, Pastor. We got after the victory. We got before the blessing. Then we got to be a blessing receipts. To be a blessing receipt. Deuteronomy 14, 28 to 29. It says, at the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners and the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And in this text we hear, take care of orphans, take care of widows, take care of those in need. So when you see a need, the law says, fulfill the need so that the folks don't got to be needy. So the receipt is not about me getting, but the receipt is about me giving. So we can shout when I have the act for the victory receipt, and we can shout when we can have the before the blessing receipt. But a deeper shout is I'm being a blessing to somebody else receipt, where I can see God move in somebody else's life. Come here for a second. Some of us are going to be in a place to be a blessing to somebody else. And somewhere along the lines of your life, you are going to need a brother or a sister's outstretched hand to bring you out from where you are. But either way, we have the receipts of God's goodness in our life. We have the receipts of him doing it. We have the receipts of him blessing before. And we have the receipts of seeing somebody else being blessed by what God allowed us to do. Is there a witness in the house who got a chance to see somebody grow, see somebody change because you decided? Listen, do not frown on giving somebody a couple of dollars every now and then, because you don't know how your gift of kindness will change their life for the better. I'm a witness that when that old mother in the church used to shake my hand and put $20 in it, that kept me sometimes from losing my mind. Is there a blessing in the house of somebody being blessed by somebody else? It's almost like Mother and Father's Day. Mother and Father's Day. I'm talking about all these blessings that God is giving, and all we have to do return to him is to give back. When Mother and Father's Day comes up, Jeremiah Madison, you cannot possibly repay me for everything I've done for you. Bless God. You can't. Bill Cosby used to say on the Cosby Show, you owe me $75,283.19. There's no way you can pay me back. Fred and Barbara aren't here today. They're my parents, and because they aren't here, I use their first names. Amen. But there's no way I can pay them back for everything they've done for me. But on Mother and Father's Day, what I do to honor them is to give them something that says, for everything you've done, here's a token of my love. Ooh. I can't repay Barbara. I can't repay Fred. He taught me how to be a man. But on that one day, the least I can do is take you out on a good dinner. On that one day, the least I can do is put a couple bills in the car and say, hey, man, have a good day. Go out. On the least I can do is make sure Barbara has the flowers of her choice. and I listen to all her stories about all her ministers' wives' functions. You're going to hear me in a second. On Mother's and Father's Day, the least we could do is say thank you to mom and dad. How much more should we be saying thank you to God? There's no way I can repay you for everything you've done, but the least I can do is give you glory for the victory before, for the victory after, and for blessing somebody else. Is there a praise in the house this morning? It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay to give. But then let's get to the basics. Let's get to the basics. We throw around these words in the church a lot. Throw around tithes. The church say tithes. Y'all say that through y'all teeth, like tithe. Let the church say offerings. Let the church say offering. So they're not interchangeable. Two different things. A tithe is a specific offering. A tithe is a tenth of earnings, which is given to the church. One offering is a contribution to the church. Y'all still with me? Nobody walked out to church yet, right? Okay. You can give both a tithe and an offering, but remember that this is just the basic and it's okay to give. A tithe is a sacrificial statement that says, I'm going to do this unto God through the vehicle of the church. An offering is a gratitude statement that says, I want to bless financially based on what a need or situation is calling for. Now, with everything I just said, I know we have some questions. And here's a fair question for many of us. God, how? Because, God, I want to give, but as I look at the storehouse or the job market or as I consider inflation, I can't give because I'm really not sure where my help is going to come from. And a basic human emotion is not to give because I don't think I'll have enough to take care of myself and the things I need to do post-giving to God through the church. And I want to challenge us to see things through God's economy. Let the church say God's economy. Okay, Proverbs 3, 9 to 10 says this. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Honor means to glorify, to seek to amplify the reputation of God. So in other words, since God has been so good to me that I'm going to give you back what you allowed me to produce. Colossians 1:16 says this, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So in other words, if I honor God with what I have, then God will multiply what I have. If the world and everything in it belong to the Lord, God has it to give, and the question is, will I give back a portion to him since he's already allowed me to produce it? We are renters. We are not owners. We are renting this body that has a soul in it. You are not owning it because God has created it and it will soon decay. God gave you the talent to get the position. God gave you the talent to get the job. I'm not coming against your ability to work hard or to do what is necessary to foster, but the person, the progenitor behind everything that you're doing is God. We like to think that the alarm clock woke us up, but God woke us up. We like to think that the company signs the check, but God is the one who's producing the wealth for the company to sign the check. We like to think it was our own acumen as an entrepreneur to get the deal, but God opened up the door so the deal can be got. So since everything is coming through him and everything is coming to him, the least I can do is follow the economy of God and give back to him, because the word says if I do that, he will overflow blessings that I can't contain. Sometimes we think that it's better in our hands than in the hands of the one who's allowing it to happen. You ever have the child that says, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. When we take care of it, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm not going to say which one of mine does it, but I have one. I got two, actually. I have two children and a lovely spouse that move me out of the way. And says, I'll do it. Even though coming through my hands is the way to bless the whole clan, they have an I'll do it mentality, and I love it. I love that they're self-starters. I love that they can do it on their own. But what they don't seem to understand sometimes is, since I'm already there to be a blessing, let me do it. And then what pleases me is when they respond with their gifts to me. What pleases me is when she says, "Ooh, baby, you're such a good husband. Thank you for helping me with that today." None of the brothers are going to shout today. That's all right. That's all right. Listen, listen. "Baby, you've been so great. Let me bring you something cold to drink while you watch the game. Daddy, I love you so much. You've been awesome to me. Thank you for getting me that video game that I couldn't afford, but thank you for paying for it anyway. Even though I got an allowance, I'm getting paid as a drummer. Daddy, thank you for giving me space to do the drawing." Ooh, what I'm trying to get us to understand today, if they try to do it themselves, they'll get frustrated. But since it's coming through the hand of the Father, they see that the best way to be a blessing is to give something back. It's okay to give, and the basics is I can't beat God's giving no matter how hard I try. I notice this challenging us because some of us are CNN watchers and we watch the stock market, we watch everything else, but we forget that if I'm a child of God, I am not under that economy. I'm under His economy. I have not missed a meal or have been destitute since I decided to trust God with ministry. Now, wait, before y'all start clapping, I haven't said I haven't been frustrated. I didn't say I didn't have to cry. I didn't say it wasn't difficult. What I did say was that God's word is true and He provided everything I needed. Every single thing. My wife and I will look back and sometimes see bills and sometimes see what we got to take care of. And God has never once let us fall. In fact, there's portions of the world I would never have been able to see if I didn't trust God with the tithe, with everything I had. What I'm trying to say, maybe some of your roadblocks is because you won't give Him everything. God, I want you to bless me with the vision, but you're like, "I'm not going to give it. I want you to turn it around, but I'm not going to give it. I want you to make a brighter day, but I'm still trying to do it myself." And what God is trying to get us today is the basics is this: I have it for you, but you can't get it until you open up your hand. I have it for you to receive, but you can't get it until you open up your hand. Amen. Bless you, sister. I was sweating like Kevin Garnett. So we got receipts, we got the basics, but ultimately it's a heart issue. Let the church say heart issue. So we're looking at the parable that Jesus taught. We have two folks in the parable. We have the tax collector, and we have the Pharisee. The tax said, "No, I don't need no water. I'm all right. I'm a G about this. I got it. I'm fine." We have a tax collector, we have a Pharisee, and they're both praying and talking to the Lord. Both have a conversation, and prior to that, it's very interesting, and it's going to fly in the face of everything that I said. But in this text, Jesus never says that we have to tithe. Did everybody hear me? Jesus never articulates that in the New Testament, that it is a necessity of what is going on. Jesus says in Matthew 5:17, don't misunderstand why I've come. I have not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophet. I came to accomplish their purpose. So I'm just going to break this Bible nerd moment down for a second. Ooh, the purpose of the law, the Old Testament, is to establish a relationship with God and guidelines for living. Jesus is here to make way for the relationship to happen. That's why He's given His life for us to take on the sins and take them away. So the giving that we're talking about is still a principle. The giving is still a bedrock. Is giving is what I should do, even though I have the free will to do it differently. So the tithe and the giving, even though Jesus came to fulfill the law, is still a principle that can happen. How many people in here like to eat? Just put your hands together. Amen. Come on, y'all gonna make it plain. Whew. Now the principle is to eat my dinner before my dessert. Now, that's not a rule. So a lot of people said amen. But somebody said, "You got that right. That's not a rule." It's not a rule. You don't have to. If you want to, you can have your cheesecake before your steak. If you want to, you can have your flambé before your crab legs or whatever it is that you prefer to eat here on Sunday morning. But the preface is, Jesus is saying that even though it's not a rule, the principle behind it is what should be done. So if Jesus is saying you don't have to tithe, but it's a guidance to how things could go differently, then what is the issue behind our giving? And I want to contend this morning that the issue behind giving is a heart issue. He tells the story of the two men. One man comes out and says, I'm not like those other folks. I'm not a cheater. I'm not a sinner. I'm not an adulterer. He even puts shade on the man that's next to him. I'm not like this man, the tax collector. Then he tells God what he's doing for God. He says, I fast twice a week, and I give God a tenth of my income. The tax collector, the one that's despised, doesn't say everything that everyone else is doing. He doesn't go into what he's doing for God. He just beats his chest and says, God, be merciful to me because I am a sinner. The issue is the one that God received the blessing for had a heart that was justified by God because of how and why he was giving. And really, the issue behind our giving for me and for you, the question is, how is your heart relationship with the Lord? Some of us can't give not because we don't have enough, but it's because our heart is damaged. So much so that our relationship with God is not whole. Some of us have coronary artery issues with the walls of our heart because of fear. Some of us have heart infections because of sin and brokenness. Some of us have abnormal heartbeats and heart defects, and because we don't want to help somebody else, and we wonder why finances and relationships and things to God don't work, because your heart towards God is damaged. This man gives a sincere prayer. This man gives a sincere prayer to God. Fear messing up your heart will have your heart say this: I'm afraid to lose it all if I give this to God. Fear will have your heart say, what if what I want is not what God wants to me? And look, and it's okay to feel that way, but bring your broken heart to the altar so God can meet you right at your point of need. I can trace my giving back to my heart. I can trace how I give to my church, how I give to my spouse, how I give to my children, how I give to my community, how I give to my friends, by my relationship with God and my relationship with others. As I close today, Luke 6:38 says this: give and you receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That text is about relationships and how you treat people. But the premise can be applied to giving as well. There's a premise, there's a law, there's a fulfillment, there's a savior when it comes to how to give. And it just matters where your heart is. We can give because God gave his son. We can give because God gave me another chance. We can give because the songwriter says, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, then I would be even more messed up. Yes, tithes and offerings. Yes, giving. Yes, all those things. Yes, the finances are needed for the church, but I need my heart to grow to the place where I believe that it's okay to give. Somebody's saying, Pastor, I got some of the Pharisee in me. And that's okay, because God has you in the right place where he can begin to do surgery on the haughtiness of your heart. Some of y'all are saying, Pastor, I got some of that tax collector in me. And that's okay, because you're in the right place where God can cleanse you and start you over so you're no longer a sinner, but a son and daughter of the Most High God, because it's okay to give. As we put our hands together and bless the Lord and stand to our feet, as we stand. Oh, you're awesome. Thank you. No. If you can take out your communion sacraments, if you have them. If you don't have them, Brother Bruce is coming around to make sure everybody has it. Somebody said you got to shake it to get the good juice from the bottom. Those people are new to church. You can tell the old churchgoers, because everybody's shaking their cup like, That's not a super spiritual thing. They're just trying to make sure the juice is sweeter when they take it. Amen. And it is just juice. Amen. Yeah, be praised, be praised. That's good, that's good. As we move to the communion moment, it's amazing what Jesus was prepping to do in that time. The eating and then later on the washing of feet, he's modeling that it's okay to give. This man wrapped, this man that is infused with Godhood, is reducing himself to give his very last, to make sure those around the table got a chance to have a relationship with the one who loves them more than they can know. So today, we're just remembering that moment that the greatest giver that we know is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son.